Thank you for listening to this recorded sermon from Brownsdale Baptist Church. This message from Pastor Jonathan McCullough is titled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. You can listen to more recorded sermons on our website at brownsdalebaptistchurch.com.
Aren't you glad to be in the Lord's house today?
Yes.
I'm so thankful to be in the Lord's house. This is more than just some form of ritual, right? Yes. We get to enjoy the Lord's presence.
Right.
Amen. And we get to do it with our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
There's a lot of people around the world that can't do what we're doing today. They're meeting, they're hiding. They're underground churches. They're meeting at the threat of their life. But we get to do it with complete freedom. Nobody's going to barge through that door and threaten us or threaten to take what we have or take our life. We get to worship God in freedom.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful you live in this country and we have that freedom? Well, I pray this morning that you take full advantage of it and worship God with everything you got. Amen. Praise the Lord. Vic, would you bring me that water? Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Thank you for all the prayers, that sinus infection. It's like that annoying friend that just won't leave. It's wanting to hang around, but the devil is a liar this morning. John chapter 15. I see some visitors this morning. I want to say welcome to you. I'm so glad you're here in service with us today. For the past 3 weeks, we've been looking very closely at Christian relationships. The first 2 weeks, we focused on unity within these relationships. And then last week, we looked at the kind of relationships, specifically the friendships that we need to build as Christians, as believers. And I called those uncommon friendships. Friendships that don't just happen. Amen? They have to be built. They require work and energy and focus. And it's because of the quality of those friendships. Anything worth having, Daddy used to tell me, is worth working hard for. And these uncommon friendships require a lot of work and patience and growth. But they're so valuable to our lives, aren't they? John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're going to look at, start in verse 12. We're going to go through verse 21 this morning. So are you there? All right. Anybody need me to wait? Y'all good? All right. Starting in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
These things I command you, that you love one another. The world hate you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Those first couple of verses. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This morning I want to preach on this thought, what a friend we have in Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Can you attest to that this morning?
Yes.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for the people that have assembled in this house, Lord. My brothers and my sisters, the family of God, Lord, I thank you for them. Smiles have been brought to my face this morning, Lord, from seeing my friends, my brothers and sisters, Lord. Spirits uplifted, encouragement brought, Lord. God, I thank you for that. I pray as we gather together around your word, Lord Jesus, that you will give me clarity of thought, clarity of expression, Lord, that you will anoint me, God, to preach your word. They don't need to hear me, Lord. They need to hear you.
Yes.
So help me step out of the way. Holy Spirit, you guide us into truth. Guide us into truth, into the truth that can transform our lives. That's what we desire today. We ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. And the church said,
Amen.
In these few verses that we read this morning, we see the epitome of genuine friendship. And that genuine friendship as it's displayed in Christ. We described last week what uncommon friendships look like, but this week the bar is raised. Because the model, the example, the standard that we are to emulate in our own relationships with one another is displayed in these verses, and that is in the example of Christ himself. Notice the charge of friendship this morning. He begins in verse 12 with this charge. Love one another. Love one another. It's no surprise that Christ speaks like this. He's nearing his passion. He's just moments away from crucifixion, and no doubt love is at the forefront of his mind, because it's his love, the Bible tells us, that's going to compel him to climb up Golgotha's brow, and it's love that's going to compel him to mount the cross of Calvary. This is the night before his crucifixion. And as he is in a borrowed room in Jerusalem, he's meeting with his friends, his disciples, for one final meal. The shadow of tomorrow's sacrifice is looming in a dimly lit upper room. The men with whom he shared the last 3.5 years of his life are all gathered in that room around a table. And as Jesus scans the room and he looks at each of them, his mind shifts to the theme of friendship. He smiles as he remembers the moment that Andrew brought his brother Cephas to see him. Every word of that conversation is fresh on Christ's mind as he sits around that table with his disciples. His eye lights up as he remembers the way this future disciple responded to the thought of fishing for men. And the thought of going by a different name from that moment on, no longer Cephas, but Peter. He called me Peter, a rock, solid, sure, steadfast. As he scans the table, Christ's eyes meets the sons of Zebedee. And he remembers passing by them that day when they were in the boat with their father and their fish nets were laid out from their toil and labor. And he simply looked at them and said, "Follow me." And they left everything. Christ, looking around the table, smiles as he remembers how all of these men abandoned the only life that they had ever known. They left the things that were pressing in life to follow after him. He sees Philip. He sees Nathanael, the one that he remembered seeing under the fig tree. He looks around the table and there's Matthew and Thomas and James and Thaddeus and even Simon the Zealot is sitting there. They're all there. All these men around this table, they've been good friends to him. They've walked the same streets. They've stayed in the same borrowed houses. They warmed by the same fires. Every man in that circle embraced the same challenges. They brought smiles to each other's faces. They brought laughter to each other's pain. They were committed. They were loyal. They were compassionate friends. Christ sitting there at that table, his heart was full as he began to remember 3.5 years of friendship. But how quickly the joy is tempered with pain as he looks into their future. And this same set of committed friends, in just a few short days, he knows that they're going to be scattered. He looks one way, and he sees the darkness that has invaded the heart of Judas, who he knows is going to sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. And it's like a dagger in his heart. He looks the other way, and he sees a confident lead disciple, knowing what Peter will do in his darkest hour. "I don't know him. I don't know him. I swear, I don't know him." And it stings the soul of Christ. That Last Supper carries a foreboding shadow. Every one of these men, except for John, will disappear. They'll flee. They'll scatter. In Christ's moment of suffering, fingers are going to be pointed. Harsh words are going to be spoken. Division will seek a place to drive its wedge. And it is in this moment of deep reflection, with thoughts of love and fear and betrayal and uncertainty, that Jesus lifts up his voice. Love one another. Love one another. Christ knows that their love is going to be challenged. Love one another. That person next to you is all you've got. You need him. You need them. Love one another, disciples. Don't let the pain of uncertainty, the fear of failure, or the doubt keep you away from each other. When the dust settles, Peter, I want you to strengthen your brethren. When the darkness is past, strengthen one another. Love one another. That's the charge of this friendship we have with Jesus. It is the noblest call of Christianity, to love, to literally embody the compassion of Christ. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you love? Do you take the charge to love seriously? Is it the compass that guides you in this life? Because listen, you can do a lot of things, a lot of good things, noble things, and yet still not have love. We can be religious and not have love. 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, it's love. I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, even acts of benevolence, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. All of those things we just read are seeming demonstrations of love, but Paul says you can do all of that and still not possess genuine love. Christ wants his followers to be known for their love. That's the charge. So he says, love one another. Love one another. Now notice the character of this friendship. Love how? To what degree? Jesus continues, love one another as I have loved you. How far am I supposed to go with this love, Jesus? As much as I've loved you. Yeah. Every disciple, I want you to put yourself there. Every disciple in that room felt the weight of that statement. They, everyone. They immediately, when those words rolled off of his tongue, they immediately remembered the moment that he stepped into their lives. How he changed them. The joy that he brought to their life. The fulfillment that he brought to their life. They remembered walking away from futile pursuits and worthless things. Their lives were broken. Their hearts were wounded. Their hopes were weakened. But then Jesus came. Anybody remember when Jesus came? And when he came and stepped into their lives, he changed everything. Can you remember that moment? Can you remember the moment that Jesus came? The moment that your hopelessness disappeared? Can you remember the day that the addiction lost its grip? Hallelujah. When the depression let go, when the guilt and the shame ran from the light of his face. Can you remember? Oh, you need to remember. Don't you ever forget. Don't you forget where he brought you from. Don't you forget what he's done in your life, how he's put that mess back together.
Yes.
Oh, praise God. Other people walked out, but he walked in.
Yes.
Praise the Lord Jesus. You remember what it felt like. You need to take a moment. Go there. Think about where you were, what you were doing, what your life was like and how his love broke through the darkness with the light of a thousand suns. Go there. The day on that road, the moment in that room, wherever it was, at that old tear-stained altar, however it happened, can you remember it? I hope you remember that moment. I hope you've experienced that moment. Can you remember the way it felt? Are the emotions alive again? Jesus says, disciples, you've been good friends. 3.5 years you've walked with me. You've loved me. You've been committed to me. And I've been committed to you. Love each other the way that I've loved you. And then, lest they've forgotten, he takes the time to describe what kind of love it was. We see, first of all, that it was a superior kind of love. Greater love hath no man. It's a superior love. There's no higher love. Praise God. I'm telling you, I'm going to run this morning before it's over. Thank you, Jesus. There's no stronger love. There's no mightier love than the love of Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. You couldn't come home at night. You were lost and bound and fettered in sin. You were angry. You were broken. You were lost and undone. Oh, but the love of Jesus, yes. The mighty, powerful, strong love of Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It had the ability to conquer rebel hearts. It had the power to reach beyond the darkness of our past and the pain of our yesterdays. It tamed our unruly natures. It extinguished the fire of our rebellion. It is a powerful, powerful love. You remember, don't you? How can our faces not be wet with tears today and our hearts not shake from fond recollections of what he's done in our lives? His love is superior. It's a mighty, it's a strong love. It's an agape love. That's a love that is without variance. That's a love without impurities. Pure, holy, unconditional love. A love that is not based upon performance. A love that cannot be earned or bought or deserved. That's the kind of love that Jesus extends. That's the kind of love he has brought into our lives. Other people will love you as long as you perform. I know this. As long as you do what you need to do and you do what we ask you to do and what we want you to do and you're valuable to me, then I'll love you. But the moment that the performance stops, they're gone. No more phone calls. No more texts. But not Jesus.
Right.
Praise God. He was there. When the phone stopped ringing and the texts stopped coming, Jesus was still there. He was a friend that stuck closer than a brother. Praise the Lord. He never left me. He never forsook me.
Yes. Amen.
Because that's the kind of friend he is. It's an agape love. I can't deserve it. I can't earn it. It's not based on performance. It's a love that extends hope to a dying thief who had nothing to offer. That guy on the cross next to Jesus couldn't do better. He couldn't be better. He couldn't walk better. He was dying on a cross next to Jesus. The only hope he had that day was the same hope we have today. Is it true what they say of him? And as he pondered that question in his heart, is it true that he loves the broken? Is it true that he loves the hurting?
Yes.
He mustered up enough courage and he looks to that man that's on the middle cross and he said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom.
Yes.
I ain't got nothing to offer you. Nothing in my hands do I bring. I come to you empty-handed. I have a past that is littered with failure. I'm here. I'm on the cross. I'm paying for my offenses and my sin. I don't deserve you, but would you remember me? Would you remember me?
And Jesus, with that agape love in his heart, he looks at the man, the dying thief next to him. And that sinner became a saint in a moment when he said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise."
Yes.
Hallelujah. Woo. Without any works, without any gifts, without any, you deserve it. It's a superior love this morning. No greater love hath any man than this. And he continues that a man will lay down his life. His love is not only superior, it is selfless. It's selfless. He lays down his life. That means he puts others first. His love is motivated not by how he can be served, but how he can serve others. He literally stepped into this world as a declaration of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His entrance into the world was a declaration of the love of God. Christ is a gift today. Christ is a declaration. He and his life and his death, his burial, resurrection is a demonstration of selfless love. Notice what Paul says to the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 2. We've read this verse several times. I want you to watch this little nuance. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Y'all see the selflessness in that passage? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's selflessness. That's preferring someone else. That's esteeming your brother higher than yourself. And then Paul says, this is what will motivate that. This is what should motivate the selflessness in your own friendships and your own relationships. Here's your example, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God. But what happened? He made himself of no reputation. And he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He stepped out of heaven where he was worshiped 24/7. And he clothed himself in human flesh and he came to an earth where he was rejected and he was scorned. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's selfless love. Paul said, you let Christ's love motivate you to love just like that. His love is selfless. We will never love as Christ loved as long as we're driven by selfish pursuits. If our motivations in our life and our relationships are self-serving, then we'll never express the kind of love Jesus did. It's not only superior and selfless, it's sacrificial. It's sacrificial. Notice he lays down his life for someone else. He lays down his life for his friends. His love is sacrificial. Christ didn't just love in word. We got a lot of people look at you, I love you. Come here, give me a hug. Stab you in the back. Jesus didn't just love in word. Jesus loved in deed. Jesus proved his love through sacrifice. The very next day, from the moment in our text in John 15, the torture is going to start. They're going to interview him all night. They're going to blindfold him and mock him, punch him in the face, prophesy, tell us who's going to hit you next. Punch him in the face and mock him for hours. They're going to take a crown of thorns and they're going to drive those thorns into his brow. The blood's going to flow down his face. It's already unrecognizable. They're going to take a purple robe and they're going to put it on his back. And they're going to mock, hail, King of the Jews. One day later, from this moment, They're going to take him to Gabbatha. And they're going to tie him to a post. And they're going to take the cat of nine tails. And with every lash, more flesh is going to release. Until his history tells us that his ribs could be seen through his side. Some even said that the vital organs could be seen through the side. Most men died at Gabbatha. Not Jesus. Jesus, what are you doing? What are you doing? You raised the dead. You opened up blinded eyes. You unstopped deaf ears. What do you mean? Why? Why are you allowing these men? You could, in the snap of your finger, this could all be over and it could all be done. Why are you enduring what you're enduring? For God so loved the world. As sure as he was born, he would die. He was on a mission. He was on a mission to share his love in the world. And not just in word. He was on a mission to share that love indeed. Yes. And so he allowed them to take the flesh from his back. He allowed them to mock him in cruel shame. He allowed them to strap a cross to his back, a cross. Cursed is the man that hangs on a tree. That was for criminals. He allowed them to strap that thing to his back and he carried it down the Via Dolorosa. Every bump and nook that he hit, he groaned in his soul. Carried that thing. Simon took it as he fell beneath the load. He made it to Golgotha's brow. And Jesus laid down on the cross. Men had to be ran down. Men had to be held down. Sometimes it would take 4 to 5 soldiers to hold their hand down to drive the nails through their hands and feet, but not Jesus. There's no indication that Jesus gave any fight at all. Why? Why are you doing that? I love you. I love you. It was a declaration. The superior, selfless, sacrificial love of Christ. He drove the nails in his feet and his hands. And he groaned in his spirit. I know it hurt. I know the pain was there, but deeper than the physical pain in his body. Oh, the pain, the alienation from the Father as he turned his back on his Son. Because he was carrying the sin of the world, but that he wandered into the wilderness for us. They drove the nails into his hands and feet, and they began to lift that cross. And as they lifted that cross, love was being lifted. Because if he's lifted, I'll draw all men unto me. Yeah. That's what he said. If I'll be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And as the Son of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, is lifted up on the cross, falls into that hole and with a thud, he groans in his spirit again. What are you doing, Jesus? I love you. I love you. His love is sacrificial. God commended his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, he walked into the room and said, take my life instead. Picture yourself. Picture yourself in a courtroom. The judge is looking at the evidence. You're guilty. There's no bones about it. You've committed the crime. You're guilty. All that's left is for the judgment, the condemnation to be pronounced. But as the judge begins to lift his voice in the room, walks the precious Son of God who says, no, Father, I'll do it. Give it to me. That death penalty that's theirs, give it to me. I'll take their hell on a cross. I'll let them take my life. I'll lay it down. That's love.
That sacrificial love. We can talk about the friendship of Jesus all we want, but do you know him today? Why would we scorn that kind of love? That kind of commitment, that selfless love. All other religions say if you'll do this, you'll do this, you'll do this, you'll do this other, then you'll be accepted by God. You'll reach the level you're supposed to reach. Only Christianity says it's been done on the cross of Calvary through the gift of God's Son.
Oh, yeah.
What does it take, preacher? Commit your life to him. Recognize. That was me. That should have been my cross. I am the one with sin. Repent of that sin. Turn to him for life. He simply said, turn, look, and live. That's how easy it is. We make it more difficult. But it's not that difficult. You're a sinner. You need Jesus. Jesus came, died to pay for your sin. He paid for your sin. Now, if you will, by faith, receive what he's done on the cross of Calvary, you can be saved. Praise God. Are you a friend of the Lord? Are you a friend of the Lord? I can't finish this. But I promise you, if you'll come back tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll finish it. Amen. Aren't you thankful that we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother?
Oh, yes.
I didn't have any intention of doing this, any intention of extending an altar call this morning because I wasn't sure that that's the way the service was going to go, but I'd be a fool.
Yes.
I'd be a fool if in this moment I didn't give you an opportunity to say I love you back. Oh, God, I thank you for the cross, Lord. Is there anybody in this place today? I don't have a relationship with him, but I sure want to have one with him now. This altar is open today. Don't you wait another second, another moment. Come and give your heart and life to him.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. He'll love you like nobody else will. He'll be faithful like nobody else will. He's a friend. Worth turning everything over for.
Yes.
All that he asked is you giving your life.
Yes.
Take me as I am. Use me. If you're in this place today and you've strayed, maybe you've strayed, things of this life have drew you away from that intimate, close relationship with Jesus. I'd be a fool not to give you an opportunity to respond. He has spoke today. If I had 1,000 voices, I would have lifted every one of them this morning. Jesus was screaming through his text today, I love you.
Yes.
If you've strayed, this altar is open for you. If you just want to revel in the wonder-working power of Christ, in the friendship that he has brought to your life, the love that he's brought to your life, let's come and bestow our love upon him today. And worship him today. Can we do that? Can we come around this altar together?
Thank you for listening to this recorded sermon from Brownsdale Baptist Church from Pastor Jonathan McCullough. If you'd like to speak with someone from our church, you can email us at pastor@brownsdalebaptistchurch.com.